Welcome back to Pop Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, and today I'm going to be talking about The Protégé. I'm also going to be talking about The Night House, as well as Reminiscence and the Paw Patrol movie. I'm also going to be talking about the second episode of Marvel's What If on Disney Plus, so stay tuned for all of that. And let's not waste any time, let's get right into it.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
What If Episode 2, What If T'Challa Became a Star-Lord? So, yeah, this is Chadwick Boseman's last time as the character T'Challa, and they even have, like, a dedicated to Chadwick Boseman at the end there. Made me a little emotional, but I love this episode way more than the first one. I did not care for the first one that much. Obviously, you have Chadwick Boseman coming in as T'Challa slash Star-Lord. Also have Karen Gillan coming back as Nebula, Michael Rooker coming back as Yondu, Digimon Hansu coming back as Korath, John Kani as T'Chaka, Josh Brolin coming back as Thanos, Benicio Del Toro as the Collector, Kurt Russell coming in for a cameo as Ego, Sean Gunn as Kraglin once again, Chris Sullivan as Taserface, another cameo here, Seth Green as Howard the Duck. That was a nice little cameo there. Danai Gurira also comes in for a cameo as Okoye. Ophelia Lovibond, hopefully I'm saying that right, as Karina once again. And that's pretty much the main cast without, you know, spoiling much there. But, yeah, I really did love this episode. It was nice to hear Chadwick Boseman's voice. It was also nice to see how having T'Challa in the Ravengers, how it changed their whole, you know, mindset and their, you know, their goals and what they're trying to do. They don't steal just to help themselves and make money, but they steal in order to help other people, like planets and the galaxy in general. I really loved that. That was great. But yeah, such a great episode. I really did love the hell out of this. It was badass. There were a lot of surprise cameos and things that was just like, oh my God. Especially the Thanos bit. I was surprised to see him in this episode. But, yeah, I'm not going to get into spoilers quite yet. But I would definitely give this episode a 9 out of 10. Last episode, I would probably give maybe like a 6 out of 10. I just really didn't care for it all that much. Not that I don't like Peggy or anything like that, because I do. I just didn't like the storyline as much. And the execution as well. But yeah, this one definitely killed it for me. I hope that it continues to get better after this episode, which I'm sure it will. But yeah, really solid episode. I loved all the characters and how the storyline changed because T'Challa was taken rather than Peter Quill. Yeah, definitely flipped it on its head for sure and was a nice surprise for me. So definitely a great episode. Recommend you guys check this out. Now I'm going to get into some spoiler territory here. Not going to take too long, though. And that's starting now, so if you don't want to hear it, skip ahead. You know, maybe like 4 minutes or so. Not going to take me too long. So yeah, I loved how T'Challa changed the Ravengers' motives, and they help people rather than steal for themselves. I also really like the bond between Yondu and Star-Lord. But you have Korath coming in as kind of a Star-Lord fanboy. He joins the Ravengers. And also you have Taserface on the Ravengers. Yeah, what can I say in terms of spoilers? The Collector kind of takes Thanos' place because in this, Thanos, his whole attitude was changed by T'Challa, which was really surprising to see. That was fucking, I had my mouth wide open when he showed up and I just heard the story about him and what's going on with him. That was definitely a surprise for me. But What else was I gonna say here? Oh yeah, Wakanda was practically destroyed, so that was surprising to hear for sure. Let me see here. I got some stuff written down. Drax showed up for a minute. His wife and daughter didn't die because Star-Lord helped them, essentially, and saved their planet. The Collector in this, he had Hela's horns. He also had Mjolnir and Cap's shield. That was cool. We also got a little cameo from Cosmo, the space dog. Is that what they call him? Yeah. What else here? At the end, Ego shows up at Dairy Queen, and Peter Quill's working there. Doesn't really go anywhere because it's the end of the episode, but yeah. Also, Nebula has blonde hair in this, so she's kind of hot, can't lie. What else can I say in terms of spoilers? There's really not a whole lot to spoil past what I said, but Howard the Duck was fun to see for sure. Seth Green playing him. And just a really solid episode. I enjoyed the hell out of it, and I liked how they changed the storyline a little bit because T'Challa was taken rather than Peter Quill. It was really endearing and heartwarming. There's a lot of moments where I was just like, aw. But a much more positive version of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yondu is more of a hero in this one rather than kind of a villain in the first movie. However, in the second movie, he does become a hero, and I love that character for sure. Michael Rooker is really great as Yondu. He's really great in general. But, yeah, I definitely recommend you guys check out this episode because, for me, this is my favorite episode so far. I know there's only two episodes, but still, it's a really solid episode. I love the hell out of it. And, I just loved how the characters changed because they kidnapped T'Challa rather than Peter Quill. And it was interesting to see how they changed. And, just really solid episode. So, trying to fill up the time for the people that skipped ahead. But really solid. Definitely recommend you guys check it out. And I'm very excited to see where this series goes. Really fun. T'Challa was great in this episode. Again, really glad to see or hear Chadwick Boseman's voice one last time. So definitely check it out. I think you guys will enjoy it. And I'll call that good for this review. You know, they're short episodes, so there's not a whole lot I can say. But, you know, there's stuff to say for sure, especially with this episode. There's more depth to this episode rather than the first one, I feel like. So, yeah, there's my review for What If Episode 2, What If T'Challa Became a Star-Lord. Reminiscence is a 2021 film written and directed by Lisa Joy, who wrote, produced, directed, and created Westworld for HBO, as well as Burn Notice and Pushing Daisies. Westworld, pretty good. Didn't end up finishing it, but Burn Notice is also a show I really enjoy. I haven't watched a whole lot of it, but it's a really solid show if you haven't checked it out. It stars Hugh Jackman as Nick Bannister, Rebecca Ferguson as May, and Thandwe Newton, probably saying that wrong, as Emily Watts Sanders. We also have Cliff Curtis as Cyrus Booth and Daniel Wu as St. Joe. And I'll give you the synopsis here. Nick Bannister, a private investigator of the mind, navigates the alluring world of the past when his life is changed by a new client, May. A simple case becomes an obsession after she disappears and he fights to learn the truth about her. Yeah, so really cool concept. Basically, they live in this world. They're in Miami, but, you know, this affects the whole world. Just didn't get to see a whole lot of it. Where the ocean water levels are rising rapidly, and you have very poor areas where they're just completely flooded. You have some areas that are susceptible to flooding, have water in the streets and all that kind of stuff, but not quite flooded yet. And then you have the dry lands, which all the rich people live on. And then you have Hugh Jackman, who falls in love with Rebecca Ferguson's character, May. And then she disappears, so he tries to figure out where she went, and also comes to find out she's not quite the person he thought she was. But yeah, really cool concept with the whole reminiscence. Basically, it's this machine that allows you to look back on your memories, and it's very, very realistic and vivid, and just makes you feel like you're living in that moment. I thought that was a really cool concept, and definitely a driver of this film, if that's the word I'm looking for. You know, you get a lot of the reminiscence machine, and that was definitely a plus for this movie, just having that and exploring, you know, people's memories and trying to use them to remember things that maybe they didn't catch the first time. Also, you have, you know, the effects of global warming affecting the people in this world. And another interesting thing is that during the day, it's so hot that they basically start their day at night and then, you know, end their day in the, like, pretty much at dusk. Dawn. But yeah, really cool concept. And I think they could have done a lot more with it rather than this romance mystery plot. I don't know. I would have liked to see more of the world they're living in rather than just focus on Nick's love interest who has gone missing. I mean, I knew what I was getting into pretty much when I saw the trailer and went to the movies to see it. But I really wish that there would have just been more basically just exploring this world that they're living in. Really cool concept just to have this place, or basically the earth flooding and the people having to live through that and adapt and overcome. They have, like, boat taxis and stuff like that to get around. I don't know, there's just a lot of really interesting concepts, and I feel like they could have done more with the plot rather than, you know, the whole romance/mystery thing. So, a little disappointing there. I don't know. That's all I can really say about it. I just really wish there would have been... the word I was looking for before, by the way, was world building. Being able to see more than just one place, because they're in Miami, you do get to see New Orleans for a little bit, but other than that, you don't get to see how the rest of the world is dealing with this, and how even the rest of the United States is dealing with it. That's something I would have really liked to see, and if I could talk to the writer/director, I would ask her more about, you know, the world itself in this film, if she even kind of thought through what the rest of the world would be like. But pretty interesting for the most part. I, again, really like the the concepts in this movie, but with the plot, I just feel like they could have done something a little more interesting rather than, you know, again, the mystery/romance plot. So there's my review for Reminiscence. I am going to give it a 7.5 out of 10. It's not something I'd really want to watch again, but it is on HBO Max if you guys want to go watch it there, or if you want to go see it in the theaters, go ahead. I think people will enjoy this movie, but for me, I just kind of wanted more from it. Sorry, keep having to clear my throat. Really wanted more from this movie, and I just did not quite get that. So, 7.5 out of 10. I think a lot of the cinematography was great, and a lot of the action set pieces were really great as well, and all the actors really killed it. So, I'll give it all that at least. So, yeah. Let's move on to my next review.
All right, The Protégé is a 2021 film
starring Maggie Q and Samuel L. Jackson, as well as Michael Keaton. And what can I say about this movie? It had a lot going for it from the trailers, I feel like. Like, it seemed like it was going to be a cool movie. It's directed by Martin Campbell, who directed Casino Royale, which I have not seen yet. I'm trying to make my way through the James Bond movies. I'm still not that far in, but maybe I'll just end up watching the Daniel Craig movies. But yeah, it's also written by Richard Wink, who wrote The Equalizer, as well as The Equalizer 2, Expendables 2. So yeah, both people have a lot of experience with action movies for sure. Michael Keaton plays Rembrandt, Maggie Q plays Anna, and Samuel L. Jackson plays Moody. And essentially in this film, Samuel L. Jackson takes in Anna at a young age, and she is his protege. And she, along with Moody, take down bad people in the most badass way possible. It's a lot like John Wick, but like with the female version, and she's a lot less God mode than John Wick. She definitely gets her ass kicked quite a bit, but she's also pretty strong. I thought Maggie Q was a really cool character, as Anna. I thought she was very badass, and, you know, the fact that she's really not afraid going against these, like, highly dangerous people is really cool to me. And essentially in this film, and you'll know this by the trailers, Moody, her, you know, mentor gets killed, and so she's on a revenge path, and Michael Keaton's character is somehow involved with that, so she's going after him while also being slightly attracted to him, and him being attracted to her. It's an interesting concept, but the execution was not that great to me. I was expecting a little bit more from this film. I wasn't expecting a whole lot, but I was expecting more than we got. Also, in this movie, I watched it in the theaters, and there was a couple being so annoying the entire time, talking at a regular level, and, you know, not being respectful to any of the other people in the movie theater. So that kind of ruined the experience a little bit for me, but at the same time, I don't think I would have enjoyed this movie as much, like, even with them not being there. It's fine. It is a rated R film, so, you know, you get that bloody action violence kind of stuff. But other than that, like, the concept alone is kind of cool. But as I've said in a lot of reviews, the concept alone doesn't carry the movie. It's the execution. And the execution for me was just not so great. It really just felt like your typical action movie, a little generic. I've seen a lot of films do this kind of plot, not the exact plot, but I've seen a lot of films, you know, along the lines of this film do it a lot better, like the John Wick trilogy, which I cannot wait for another John Wick film. But, you know, even like, you know, the James Bond films, I've seen a few of them, and even those are better than this. I would recommend watching some other kind of action movie other than this one. Just really didn't blow me away a whole lot. You know, the cinematography was really cool, and the fight choreography was really good. There were a lot of really nasty kills and just, like, really, really cool fight scenes, especially between Maggie Q and Michael Keaton. But other than that, that's kind of all it has going for it. And, yeah, I'll probably give this movie a 6 out of 10. It's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it is quite generic and not really worth your money, so I wouldn't waste your time going to the theaters to watch this. But, you know, if it was on streaming for free, then maybe you'd want to watch it. I think this would probably belong in, like, Amazon Prime Video or something like that. But, yep, there's my review for The Protégé. Again, not really blown away by this film, but if you want to watch it, go ahead. I just don't really know if you guys are going to like it a whole lot. So, again, there's my review for 2021's The Protégé. Let's go on to the next film. The Night House is a 2021 film directed by David Bruckner. What else has he directed? The Ritual, VHS, Southbound. And those are the only things I really recognize. But it's also written by Ben Collins and Luke Piotrowski. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Let's see here. I'm just seeing what else they have worked on. Don't really recognize anything from Ben Collins. And don't really recognize anything from Luke Piotrowski. But it does look like they have worked together before. It stars Rebecca Hall as Beth, Sarah Goldberg as Claire, which I was excited to see her in this because she is in the show Barry as Sally, and I really enjoy that show. We also have Vondi Curtis Hall as Mel, Evan Joinkeet as Owen, hopefully I'm saying that right, Stacey Martin as Madeline, David Abels as Gary, and Christina Jackson as Heather. That's pretty much the main cast for you. Essentially, the plot of this film is Rebecca Hall in this film is Beth is a widow. Her husband killed himself, and she's dealing with that. And then also after that, she's still living in the house that he built, and having some really terrifying experiences, while also grieving, and then having the people around her not really know if she's okay and not fully believing that she's experiencing what she's experiencing. I gotta say, this film was not that great. It was somewhat hard to follow, not at first, but towards like basically the middle when things really started building up. Basically in this film, she has like dreams of stuff. And so it's hard to differentiate what's a dream and what's not real and what's actually real and actually happening to her. I don't know. And then the way it wrapped up, I just was really confused by. Also, in this film, like I said, in The Protégé, there was an annoying couple that wouldn't stop talking the entire time. And guess what? That annoying couple came back for this film. And I knew immediately who it was when they started coming up the steps. And I was just like, oh my god, no. They are very annoying people to have in the theater. Which I've been noticing a lot more lately. I really hate when people just like are so disrespectful in the movie theater. There are times where it's acceptable to talk and stuff like that and you know, kind of make fun of things if a movie is bad or if a movie is really funny. Like in Don't Breathe 2, there were certain elements of it that I didn't like and would audibly say, and I heard other people laugh at what I was saying. I can't remember exactly what I said, but and then there were moments where I was just like, these characters are being dumb. And I'm just like, don't do that. Don't fucking do that. What is wrong with you? You guys are stupid. And then with like Free Guy, like there were people talking in there and laughing. I enjoy going to see a comedy movie with a full theater because it's so fun to have people around me laughing and enjoying it as well. Free Guy was a really fun experience in the theater. But yeah, this one was not a very fun experience, and it was a packed theater, and I don't really get the gist, or not the gist, but I don't really have the feeling that anybody else in the theater was really enjoying it either. There were quite a few people that left before the movie even ended, and just really didn't blow me away that much. There were some really cool cinematography and really creepy moments. There were also a few jump scares that got me. And, overall it was creepy, but, like, I feel like I've seen movies that do this a little bit better. Not specifically with this plot, but there's so many horror movies out there I feel like execute what they're trying to do a lot better than this film did. It just kind of seemed all over the place. Rebecca Hall was good in it. I'll give it that. You know, all the actors were really good in this film. But I think that's the only thing it really had going for it. There were some horror elements that I thought were really creepy, but overall I was just a little confused by a lot of this film, especially, like I said, basically from the middle to end. Confused and just not really enjoying it, I guess I could say. So I would probably give this movie I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10. Part of me wanted to say 3, but I'll be nice to it just for the fact that I think Rebecca Hall and all the other actors in this film really did a good job. Other than that, this movie really didn't have a whole lot going for it. And from the trailers, it seemed like it was going to be interesting and weird and just, you know, twisted and just, I don't know. It seemed like it would be better from the trailers. I didn't think it was going to be that great, but I don't know. I expected just a little bit more. Really not a lot, but I expected a little bit more. Pretty much none of the movies I'm talking about in this episode I expected much from. So, yeah, there's that. It's a little disappointing that pretty much all the releases this week just really didn't blow me away at all. Didn't really enjoy watching them and didn't really have that great of theater experiences. But it is what it is. So there's my review for The Night House, and let's go on to my last review. All right, Paw Patrol the movie is a 2021 film, obviously based off the very, very popular kids show Paw Patrol. And it's directed by Cal Bruckner. Let's see what he's directed. Escape from Earth. The Son of Bigfoot. The Bigfoot Family. Oh, wow. Interesting. Not a whole lot of great films, to be honest. Escape from Earth, I didn't care for all that much when I saw it back when it came out. The screenplay is by Billy Frolick and Cal Cal Brunker, as well as Bob Barlin. The story is by Billy Frolick, and it's based on the television series created by Keith Chapman. And for the voice actors in here, let me see. We have Will Brisbane as Ryder, who is the leader, the human leader of the Paw Patrol. Who else we got? Kingsley Marshall as Marshall. Which Marshall, I believe, is the, like, police dog. Which there were a lot of really cute moments with Marshall in this movie. Like, he is definitely my favorite in this film. And also, I have younger siblings, so I've been in the room when Paw Patrol is on, and I always liked Marshall. He's pretty cute. And this is a dog movie, so it's like, I love dogs, and I wanted to see it. I thought it looked cute. And I took my little brother to see it, so I wasn't an adult man going to see Paw Patrol on my own. We also have Keegan Headley as Rubble, which, let me see, because some of these actors played the characters in the show. And Keegan Headley played Rubble in the TV show. We also have, is that an L or an I? I think it's Lane. Lane Armitage, pretty sure that's his name. He played Chase. Oh wait, I think Chase, yeah, Marshall is the fire person dog kind of thing, you know what I mean, the firefighter dog. And then Chase is the police dog, which that actor that played Chase was actually Sheldon and Young Sheldon. Also played Young Shaggy in the Scooby, or what do you call it, Scoob. So thought that was cool that he was in there. Callum Shoniker, hope I'm saying it right. Apparently I just can't pronounce names today. As Rocky, which I forget which one Rocky is. It doesn't look like that. Oh, yeah. Let me see here. Because it's saying he played Mr. Nibbles on the Paw Patrol show. Did he also play another character? Or I don't know, and I don't really care, to be honest. but, yeah, who else we got? Yeah, I think Rocky might be like, there's a little thing here telling me who they all are. So he's like the recycled truck dog. And then Shale Simmons as Zuma. Zuma is like the marine kind of dog. So drives a boat and all that. Lily Bartlam as Sky, which I believe she played that character in the show. Yep. Let me see if he played Zuma in the show. Nope. And let's see here. Kim Roberts as Mayor Goodway. Sorry this is taking me so long, but I just want to credit the voice actors here. Which I believe, yep, she played the same character in the show. We also have a new character, Marseille Martin as Liberty. Which she lives in, what do they call it, Adventure City? Yeah, because the Paw Patrol is in, like, Adventure Bay, and then they go to Adventure City. So she's, like, the Adventure City dog that, you know, does stuff there. We also have, let me see, there's somebody else that I need to mention here. Also, Randall Park and Dax Shepard cameo in this film. I believe they are the like henchmen of the mayor in Adventure City. So Dax Shepard plays Reuben and Randall Park plays Butch. Cool to see their names pop up. Oh my god, I completely forgot Kim Kardashian was in this movie. She plays Dolores, which honestly I don't even remember that character, but I can't believe that she showed up in this movie. Holy crap. That's hilarious to me. Now I can't see who plays the, like, maybe it's Jimmy Kimmel playing, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the mayor's name in this movie. It's like Mayor some, I don't know. It's a kid's movie. I wasn't paying that much attention, to be honest. I was just kind of present. But yeah. What can I say about this movie? I've been talking about this way too long. It was cute. And from the trailers, I thought it was going to be cute, and it was cute. The plot, it was fine. Overall, my real review for this is just, it's cute. I didn't think I was going to love it or anything like that. Funny enough, though, this is my favorite movie out of the four I'm reviewing in this episode. And that's kind of sad. No, that is sad. but yeah, I had fun with it. My little brother had fun with it. And it was nice to go take him to a movie. Because I don't think we've seen... we watched, like, Scoob in the theater. That was pretty fun, but that movie's trash. it really is, though. And yeah, it was a fun time. I enjoyed it for the most part. It's a very short movie, so it's like, you're not going to be sitting there that long. It's like just shy of an hour and a half, which is short for movies nowadays. But yeah, overall, I really liked, what's his name, Chase, the police dog. I think he is so cute. And there were some actual moments that, like, choked me up a little bit about him. He basically got abandoned in Adventure City, which I'm going to spoil some stuff because who the fuck cares? It's Paw Patrol. But, yeah, he, like, got abandoned in Adventure City, and then Ryder adopted him and took him off the streets, and then they have to go back to Adventure City, and he starts having, like, some real mental kind of issues, just, like, becoming scared a lot and not really fully believing in himself, and, oh my god, that shit got to me, I can't lie. It was... They knew how to make me emotional. Just have a dog, an animated dog that's sad. And, yeah, they did what they were trying to do. They made me emotional. Would I say there's things for parents to enjoy? There are some funny moments. I can't lie. There are some funny moments. Some stuff that might go over kids' heads just a little bit, but nothing, like, too crazy. Yeah, I think there's things to enjoy about it. If you're a parent taking the kid to this movie, I think you'll enjoy it for the most part, and you'll just be happy that there's an age-appropriate appropriate film for your kid to watch at the movies. I also believe this is on Paramount Plus, if you want to watch it there. So you don't have to waste your money going to see it in the theaters, because ticket prices are expensive, as well as food. But if you want to take your kid to a movie, definitely go see Paw Patrol. But if your kid is, you know, a little bit older, not that much older, but too young or too old for Paw Patrol, what's something I would recommend? Jungle Cruise is a little scary for kids. Maybe take them to see The Boss Baby: Family Business, which I actually haven't watched yet, and I don't think I will. Space Jam: A New Legacy. Two appropriate things for children in the theaters right now. Jungle Cruise is a tad bit scary. It is PG-13, so it's kind of up to you. I mean, I would go to PG-13 movies all the time when I was a kid with my mom and all that kind of stuff, so I don't think it's going to damage your child's brain or anything like that. But yeah, there's my review for Paw Patrol the movie. I mean, overall, my review for it is that it's cute and it has animated dogs, so it's something for me. But I will give this movie a 6 out of 10. Obviously, it didn't like blow me away or anything like that, but it's a good movie for kids, and it has moments in there that adults will enjoy as well. So it's not just like it's not like an annoying film to go see with a kid. I had fun, my little brother had fun, and that's all that really mattered to me. But yeah, there again is my review, 6 out of 10. It's a cute movie. If you like Paw Patrol, go watch it. If you're an adult and you don't have a kid, maybe don't go watch it in the theater, because you're going to seem weird. That's why I needed an excuse to go see this, so I was like, hey, younger siblings, which one of you wants to go see Paw Patrol? But yeah, definitely don't go if you're an adult. Just watch it on Paramount Plus, because don't be that person. But yeah, that is the end of the episode. Hope you guys enjoyed. Next week, what's coming out? Let me look. I know that movie Together with, like, what's his name? I always forget his name. Let me just look it up, because I had it pulled up earlier. One moment here. I know that Get Back, the Beatles documentary, comes out next week. I haven't seen it show up at on the app for my nearest movie theater, but I have a feeling it'll be there. Oh yeah, Candyman comes out next week. Fuck yeah. Definitely going to have my review for that, and hopefully for the Beatles Get Back. And then there's a movie coming out called Together with James McAvoy and Sharon Horgan. So probably have my reviews for all three of those, as well as the third episode of What If, and probably some extra movies in there too, because I don't want it to be too short. I feel like this episode was pretty short, so I always try to make it like at least over 30 minutes. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed. I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Culture Podcast. And yeah, that's it. See you next week.